Blog Talk Radio.
Talking about a black future, the creation of a new black history. The actions and the stories of today and tomorrow will become black history the moment those events step into the past. So the question of the day, how can we be intentional about creating that history and growing and cultivating our culture and our history? These are big questions. And the reason why I decided to hit this topic today is because over the last week, Down South and Dirty Radio was involved in producing the 2021 Georgia Africa Connection Week conference. And in process of producing that show and being able to come in contact with the speakers and all of the things that come in and all the information that come through, there's a lot going on than just the stuff that's sitting in our face. And when we're talking about black history, we're not talking about the history of black folk here in America. We're talking about black folks all across the world, the whole diaspora. And I know there are members of that listen, there are people who listen to Down South and Dirty who are not necessarily Pan-African. I know I got people who listen who belong to the ADOS movement. I know there's people who listen who are foundational black. But I got something to say for you, brothers and sisters. Regardless of your political agenda or the goals that you're seeking to have for your particular branch of the diaspora, still members of the diaspora. And I just implore upon you to tweak your rhetoric just a little bit, because you may get left behind a global initiative to put black folks on a whole nother level, trying to get white supremacy to do something that white supremacy isn't prepared to do. Because this is going to be an operation which we're going to have to do it ourselves. We cannot continue to depend on white supremacy, figuring that they may at some point in time feel remorseful for the actions against us and our oppression, that they are going to then apologize and then pay us, because that goes counter to everything that they believe in. So for a black future to be created and new black history to be studied, we have to find ways of doing that ourselves and cannot depend on anybody else to do it for us or to give us some kind of boost. Now, do I still believe in the idea of reparations? Hell yeah. You owe us, white supremacy. You owe us. But we know a lot of people out there who owe us money that ain't gonna never pay it to us. So, do you wait for that, or do you continue to do what you got to do to make happen what needs to happen? Now, doing this thing, I learned so much. young African Americans here who are building businesses, multi-million dollar businesses that are going global. But yet, we're not talking about this. And they not hip-hop stars. They not athletes. They doing it the way everybody else in the world are doing it. They got an idea. They went out there. They grinding. They working hard. They learning how to receive capital. And all of them are not running nonprofits. They are for-profit. And they're scaling. And they are looking at an opportunity of a global black diaspora that is capable of competing economically and politically with the West and the East. Because, see, we got this, one of the things that I've also understand, we as a diaspora have to stop aligning ourselves with East or West. We got to rise, you know, taking something, to take and appropriate something from the white supremacists, the South shall rise again. Because when you look at it, there's a Southern and a Northern hemisphere. It's just not the East and the West. There's a Northern and a Southern hemisphere. And when you talk, and if you listen to people who talk about things from an international standpoint, they very much talk, when we talk in terms of economics globally, we talk about the North and the South, because the majority of the landmass of the planet Earth exists in the Northern hemisphere. Most of the wealth exists in the Northern hemisphere, regardless if it's the East or the West, where the majority of the poverty and exploitation takes place in the Southern Hemisphere. But this hasn't always been the case. So at this point, like I said, we are going to appropriate that phrase, the South shall rise again. Because this is where our history is going to be made from. This is where our future lies. So there are young African Americans here creating businesses that are strategizing how can they take part in the opportunity of a rising Southern Hemisphere. We already see the Chinese are doing it through the Belt and Roads Initiative. They're building roads and ports from Pakistan to Lagos. So you're talking about from Karachi to Lagos, all up and down the Indian subcontinent, building new facilities in Dubai and Abu Dhabi, building brand new ports in Dar es Salaam and in Mombasa, and coming up the coast of Western Africa. Are we going to continue to allow other peoples to go into our ancestral homeland and exploit them even more, when we going over there and doing the same thing isn't exploitation? It is augmentation and collaboration to expand the presence of black peoples on this earth. People have exploited our resources and our labor for over the last 500 years, half a millennium. It is time. But yet we've been conditioned, particularly here in America, not to view ourselves as a collective. We listen to these ideas of rugged individualism that we hear from white nationalists here, and we feel like, since we think they are in control, that we need to emulate. But then when you look at that, and let's be honest, because you can't talk about our future as a diaspora without looking at what our opponents are doing and how they are even separated. Because we have to think and be prepared strategically to exploit any opportunities that take place in their divisions. If you look at the average white nationalist in America, he has no want to operate on a global scale. He He wants to operate in the mountains and valleys and be isolated from everybody because that's just what they believe. Whereas their European brethren are very much about globalization. And they see being and maintaining white supremacy by making sure they take over the globe and have access and control over all the resources. That is going to leave these white nationalists that are here in America by themselves. And right now, they're trying to wrestle control of this country from everybody else. That is, at some point in time, going to cause the collapse of the American economy, and it's going to hurt all of us. So it is incumbent upon black people in this country, because we have a connection, a direct connection to all of the resources that are fueling the global economy. And we know that we don't have to oppress anyone. We don't have to subjugate anyone to allow this future to manifest itself. We just got to be about it and be true to our intentions and our game. We in the diaspora have to work together. I listened to young people who were talking about the free trade agreement that is taking place on the African continent that will connect 55 countries. Are we prepared? Are we prepared to take part in that? There are nations that are asking for us here in America to come do what we do. There are people on the continent who are looking at uniting under one currency, one passport. The same things that we've seen in the EU are figuring to happen in the AU. But the thing is that the AU, the African Union, there is some concept of involving the diaspora. We have to be intentional about looking at changing the way that we think. We have to be intentional about in the ways in which we act. We have to be intentional about the ways in which we vote. We have to be intentional about everything that we do. We can no longer afford just to be haphazardly spinning through the universe on this blue orb, thinking that somebody is going to feel sorry for us and give us what we need. We got to go get it. I know it was transformational for me, because in some ways, those of you who follow me know that I've been going through all kinds of turmoil and different things, and in one of the sessions during this conference, we talked about the trauma of that suffers upon us as a black people here in America, and even some of the trauma that is upon our brothers and sisters in Africa, because they may have not have dealt with chattel slavery, but they did deal with the consequences of having their land invaded, conquered, occupied, and exploited. Imperialism and colonization. There's a collective trauma. And yesterday and this week, listening to that, there was a plan, that there were folks out there trying to do something. To sit there and listen to, Africans who have multinational conglomerates, to sit there and understand that Wakanda, as we in African America perceive it is possible. It uplifted my soul to know that there is a path forward. It uplifted my soul and brought me out of that dark place to understand that we can and will do better. It gave me a sense of purpose. It gave me something to fight for. It gave me something to move towards. And I come from a family of owners, people who own land, people who have had who have businesses. And I understand what that looks like, but I've always been periphery to that. And this only listening to what was going on only fueled my ambition. And like I said, lifted me out of that dark place. Where am I going to go? What am I going to do? How can I take part in this revolution? This is the 21st century, and everybody, from a historical standpoint, the 20th century was known as the American century. The 21st century needs to be known as the Black century. And this is not in any form or fashion to be a threat toward anyone of any other race, creed, or culture. But it is our turn. And for anybody to want to come in with this intersectionality deal and this global kumbaya moment to not allow us to have it, to deny us our chance of taking our seat at the head of a global movement, I will say that you're on that bull. That you are intentionally, you just hating on us. Because there have been times in which the cycle has went around the world. Africa has never really truly had its chance to lead the world. Not in the way that we see it in modern times. Because to be honest with you, we wasn't fooling with everybody else like that. You know, I heard a white man say something to me once, and it made a lot of sense. Do you know why so many peoples, you have so many different groups on this planet who are warlike? And if you look and understand where these people live, they were living in places where they didn't have resources, that everything was scarce, and it made you have to go fight so you could eat. This is the main reason why the European did what it did, because they ain't shit in Europe. Excuse my language. They ain't nesting down rocks. They ain't a whole bunch of forests. They'd already pillaged and they had already plundered and pillaged their own continent. There wasn't a lot of gold sitting there. They got their gold from Africa. But if you ask why were there not major armies sweeping and moving across the continent into, you know, into what we will call northeastern Africa, which I would want to call the Middle East. Yeah, I'm claiming that for Africa. Because if you understand, and I was taught this by, and again, there are woke white folks who understand our situation better than we do sometimes. Because if you went to elementary school and you learned geography and you learned about continental plates and you learned about continental convergence zones, that you will understand that there is nothing, the point in which Asia separates itself from Africa is in the Caucasus Mountains and in the Himalayas. There's no ridge or tectonic plate that separates the Middle East from Africa. Just want to state that to y'all. Just want to state that to y'all for a second. You know. But when you look at the history of these nations, there's a great book called Guns, Germs, and Butter, a bread, I think it is. the fate of human societies. And this is the one book that I've read that somebody intentionally attempted to explain the rise of human societies around the globe without putting racial overtones on it. They just looked at conditions, weather patterns, you know, geography, these type of things that allow information and different things to move. And they did their best not to include any racial theories on whether this group of people may have been smarter or this, that. It was just based on the condition. And so the condition that what the armies that moved across Africa and continent, the African continent, they conquered other people, yes, but never in the form or fashion that you've seen out of the East or the West. You had the Mongol Empire come out of China in East Asia to try to conquer the world, and then you done had the Romans, the Greeks, the English, the French, and everybody coming out of Europe, and even the Russians, try to do it in the opposite direction. You've never saw, even with the Egyptians and the Ethiopians, you never saw this need to want to go conquer the world. Why? Because we had everything we needed in our space. There was no need to go look for a new world with new resources when you had it all. You had plenty of trees. You had plenty of good arable farmland. You had plenty of gold and silver, tin and aluminum. And now we know that there's oil, and we know that the sun shines on this place more than a little bit, so they have access to solar. The winds are constant. They have access to wind energy. Fresh water. Intelligent people who are hungry for knowledge and success. And here in America, again, I've been saying this for like the last year or two. So many of us here fight about the idea of being African American, being the African that lives in America. We fight this idea because some of us are determined not to connect ourselves to our mother. Okay, I give you that. Then connect to the idea of being American. We are still the world hegemon, most powerful military, largest economy. We will be overtaken by the Chinese if we don't get our stuff together. And the one thing that all of us agree on, and when I say the Chinese, I am talking about the People's Republic of China. I am not talking about the Chinese people as a whole, not talking about the Chinese diaspora. I am talking about the People's Republic of China. I am talking about the political entity that governs the nation of China, not talking about its people. So people, we're not going to make this a race situation, because this is about political and economic entities competing on a world stage for dominance. And since some of us who are black here in America cannot connect with our Africanness, then can we connect with being American, being citizens of the world's most powerful empire at this moment? And the fact that the rising elements are our brothers and sisters. And it gives us an opportunity to not only increase the wealth, but also allows our nation to continue to be as great as it is. America was built by Africans. What does that tell you? Now, you will have some whites that will sit there and tell you, oh, no, America came great after slavery, but it got the way it was because of slavery. The fact that you could move across a continent and conquer it as a nation before the Civil War now was done because the resources that were extracted from the land by enslaved Africans. Now, we've been there. People have tried to make us seem as if we are the laziest group of people that have ever existed. Hell no. We built America. Twice. Three times over. We've served in her armies, navies, and Marine Corps, and Air Forces, and even now our Space Force. And are some of the most decorated and fiercest warriors known on the planet. It were Buffalo soldiers that tamed the West. It were Buffalo soldiers that raided San Juan Hill. It was the Harlem Hellfighters that held the line in the French trenches of World War One. Again, we have to understand the greatness of who we are in this country so that we can then take our place in the global resurgence of our people. I implore my listeners to go to YouTube, to Devisha L. Johnson's YouTube channel, where you can find all 4 days of the Georgia Africa Connection Conference for this year and watch and listen. It's going to be up for a couple of weeks before it gets taken down for editing and broken down into more, I would say, digestible pieces, because it's a lot. I know. I produced it. We're talking about days of marathon production. I learned a lot. I learned a lot. And I'm telling you, you can learn a lot. So how and what places can we be more intentional? And as a political operative here in America, I think it starts in two places. And because this has always been the argument in what I believe are the two schools that have really maintained dominance in our philosophical thoughts of how we as black people in America, as African Americans, we operate. And that comes back from the Atlanta Compromise. Do we, one, go for political power, or do we do economic power? And I said that needs to be a new Atlanta conference in which we have this conversation again. Because I think we need to strategize and come up with how do we meld political and economic power and utilize it inside of the mechanisms that we already have our hands on. Because I hear black people who talk about, oh, we need to form our own political party. We already have that. It's called the Democratic Party. Now, I know there's black Republicans and conservatives out there who are going to go, oh, and clutch their pearls, but you can continue to serve your master. We have a chance over here. Now, are there white people who are a little skeptical about that? Yeah, they are. Over here in the Democratic Party. Yeah, I'll admit it. There are white liberals we need to watch. But as I was told by a good friend of mine, is that there's nothing more progressive than black culture. Because when black people move and black people do something, the whole world becomes better. when you know that a black man and a black woman can go out there and get paid a fair wage, that means pretty much everybody else is getting one too. When you know that a black man or a black woman can walk down the street and feel safe and respected inside of their own communities by the government, then you're pretty sure that everybody else can too. If you know that you can see black families being successful and gaining and generating wealth, then you can be pretty much guaranteed that everybody else in America is too. So if you are a non-black person in America and you want to see your life be better in ways that you can't even fathom, help black people get to where they are, where they need to be. Help us close the wealth gap. Hold our governments accountable on how they treat us. Give us space and room to be able to create a culture . Come be ally, because it benefits you. I promise you, if there's ever a moment in time in which Africa becomes the leader in this world, it will be a more peaceful planet Earth, because it has never been us who have started world wars. It has never been us that went out and tried to pillage the planet. We have been feeding and resourcing the human race since the beginning of time. If you want to see the human race reach the apex of its potential, come stand with black people. I believe this in my whole heart, that if you want to see a true unity amongst the human race, it has to be done by first making sure that the rest of the human race can unite with black people. So for how that happens is that black people got to unite, and y'all got to give us the space to do it. Stop trying to fight us. Stop trying to hinder us. Stop trying to oppress us, because the human race will reach its full potential when the cradle of the human race, Africa, takes its place on the world stage as an equal and not just your breadbasket in your store. Self-determination is how we create a new black future that will create a new black history. The separation must stop. We have to look each other as brothers and sisters. It's going to take time, but it has to start now. And here at Down South and Dirty, we are working right now into creating infrastructure to allow this future, at least to aid in this future's creation, to creating that new history, to being able to tell those stories. Time has come. So I want y'all to stay tuned. And I said this was going to be an hour long, but I think I've said what I needed to say today. So I'm not going to hold y'all 30, 45 minutes to get some good information out, to give you what you need to understand and know. That's enough. But again, I tell you, I want all of you to go to the Devisha L. Johnson YouTube channel, and I want you to watch the 2021 Georgia Africa Connection Week conference. Their faces, particularly their faces that some of you know. New faces you need to learn, new names. And a lot of these individuals are right here in Georgia with us. We don't understand how important Georgia is to the diaspora sometimes. I really don't think we get it. But think on that. How can you be intentional about creating a black future that becomes the new black history? And being intentional in growing something that we will talk about for the next millennium. Think about how you can change how you think about the things that black people do. Because it was said yesterday in the youth panel, when we think of, there's certain things we think about that we don't automatically think about black faces being involved when it happens. If I say the word satellite, do you think about a black person? If I say camping and hiking, do you think about black people? When you think about transatlantic trade on merchant ships, do you think about black people? When you think the word airline, do you think about black people? If I say global television network, do you think about black people? If you don't, then you need to start thinking differently. Because we are capable of putting things into low Earth orbit. I believe that we're capable of visiting other worlds. Because how do I know this? It's because the Americans are the ones who've done it, and those endeavors were backed up by black people. The engineers and mathematicians that you did not see who were doing the real work in the black back room were black. When we talk about spending time out in nature, white people didn't come up with that. That's something they got from us and other indigenous peoples around the world. Connecting with the soil is a very African idea. African Americans just don't do it because usually going into the woods and rural areas don't play right. Because it comes from a point of fear. Because we see that as a white man's space here. But we have to take that space back. Because we have to go connect with our nature. We have been burying our souls in this ground for over 400 years. So this is our soil too now. And we have to connect with it just like we would connect with our ancestors back in Africa. You connect through the soil. In which you will hear a lot of people talking about agriculture, growing food, being intaking healthy stuff. But this is down south and dirty. And we're signing off. Peace.